It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Here on this Monday, we are back in beautiful Music City, USA, after a trip to also beautiful Albany, New York.
It is beautiful.
Joe is here. I'm here. Hello, Dr. Crane. You're here. What's going on?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Yeah, good morning. How's life? We missed you.
We're great. Life's great.
You know, whenever we leave you, you know, we just, a little piece of us stays behind.
So. It was a little lonely in the studio last week.
Yeah. Can't forget the guy behind you, man. Another handsome intern, Paolo. I mean, come on now, right? I mean, it's like Chase dips into the GQ intern catalog.
I was getting there.
Pulls these guys out.
No, I was getting there.
And we got Paolo. I mean, it's last year, stable of handsome interns. This year again, another stable of handsome interns. Chase, I think you got an eye for talent.
Well, I think Ian has an eye for talent because Ian handles the interns. So
Ian, you're a married man.
What a guy. We got a big show planned today. Adam Vingan is going to come in at 10 o'clock and sit in the studio with us and talk about some of the moves that the Preds have made, both in the draft and now free agency. But before that, our buddy the Pokester, the AF1 Executive of the Year, Greg Pogue, is going to hang out with us.
Should be it's interesting. I wonder if he's got something to tell us or maybe some news. I don't know. We'll find out.
And then at 10:30, MTSU quarterback Nick Vadiato is going to join us. He just got done at the Manning Passing Academy.
Fresh. I mean, out of the oven from the Manning Passing Academy.
What do you think Peyton told him?
Hey, he said, Nick, well, Middle Tennessee, you know, I spent some time up, not Middle Tennessee, but Eastern Tennessee. I also spent some time in West Tennessee growing up down there in Memphis. I was growing up. You know, read the defense, find the Mike linebacker when you can, and just go to every Tennessee event there is out there and watch your team lose. I think he broke the curse, didn't he, in 23? I think Peyton broke the curse in Knoxville when Tennessee beat Alabama for the first time in 80 years. I think he broke the curse.
Javon curse?
That too.
Yeah.
But they always lost. It was like, Peyton, please don't show up. We always lose. And then he's been on a roll. I mean, he went to the College World Series and they won. So he exercised, or is it excised? Dr. Crane, you're Catholic. Exercise or excise the demon?
It's called an exorcist, so
exercise the demon?
Yeah.
Somebody. So it's not the demons like out there doing push-ups.
No.
So, if anybody knows, please let us know on the text line, 615-737-1025.
We need help.
Because our Catholic man here does not know if it's exercise or excise. I don't know. I'm Baptist. I don't know.
I know is there's a thing called an exorcist, and we don't want that to happen.
Hey, Nick, do you know how you can spot a Baptist in a liquor store?
I don't know.
They won't talk to you. That's an oldie but a goodie. A
lot of Baptists in the area.
That's fine. I'm one of them. That's fine. That's very true.
I had a really good friend in high school that was Baptist, and he'd walk into class, and the joke kind of became, like on Monday, that he'd walk into class, and somebody would be like, you know, how was church this weekend? What are we boycotting today?
Oh. Ouch. When I went to Sanford, you couldn't dance. You had to have dances off campus. I'm like, what? I've got a six-pack of beer in my dorm room, but I can't dance on the quad?
I thought that was like Church of Christ.
No, it's Baptist.
Huh. I'm Methodist, so what
welcome to the Theology Hour here at 102.5, where we know absolutely nothing about religion except there's one God.
Here's what's funny is we were sitting in the airport. We had about 4 hours to kill in Midway Airport in Chicago, and good on them. They have a chapel, and so
that's right.
On Sundays, they do services and everything, and at like 11 they did a Catholic mass, and then at noon they did a Protestant Christian service.
Yep.
And in my head I'm thinking, like, man, we just take all these Christians and lump them together.
Well, I guess I mean, but kudos to where were we, O'Hare, Midway, one of those.
Midway,
all right, yeah, for doing that. So it was, I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, they're actually doing this. It was good. So I hope a lot of people attended that because Chase and I did not.
We did not.
And we should have.
Probably. We were eating and doing those things.
And fellowshipping.
Fellowshipping, all those
things. So as soon as somebody lets us know if it's exercise a demon or excise the demon, I'm not sure which one of those it is.
You're Josh from Murfreesboro on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHonda.com, says, you're looking for X or size. Excise is a tax. Exorcise.
See? Thank you. So we're not going to tax the demon. We're going to exercise the demon. Okay. But not like I went to the gym this morning, like that exercise. I get it. It's like, cast him out, right? Get out of here.
There's a lot of Baptist jokes coming in on the text line.
You get it.
The Jason Big Joe Show does not want to offend anybody in your religious beliefs.
Unless you're Baptist, which I am.
Unless,
yeah. Isn't that the Seinfeld episode where the dentist becomes Jewish? And Jerry's like, I think he becomes Jewish tell jokes. And that's Bryan Cranston.
Yeah, that is Bryan Cranston. Yeah.
I think he became Jewish just to tell jokes. And that's it. So what a great episode that is.
0247 says, Chase, big shout out to you and Joe on the coverage of the Cats game Saturday. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Y'all made me feel like I was actually there.
Oh, thank you, Carol.
It was not Carol.
For that, those kind words.
Nevada Josh says, 60-57. Man, what a game. Wish I was there. Y'all did great. You funny bleeps.
Oh, thank you. Except for one moment in the game, which I thought Chase was going to say, you know what? Just go have a seat down there and get away from me if you don't mind.
I thought you were going to lose your mind.
Oh, my goodness.
So there's a after the first touch. Well, so here's how the first few minutes of the game went. So in arena football, if the kicker kicks it through the uprights, you get 2 points. It's called a deuce. So on the opening kickoff, Albany knocks it through, and so they're immediately up 2-0 before the clock even starts. So Nashville drives downfield, scores a touchdown, kicks the extra point, they're up 5, up 7-2. Where Joe about lost his mind is on the ensuing kickoff, we're like, hey, go for 2, you know, get your 2 points back. They onside kick, and it was such a poorly executed onside kick that they gave Albany the ball at the 4.
Oh, it was brutal. I mean, it was brutal.
So he's losing his mind, not only in that moment, but really the rest of the game.
Yeah, it was an awful, awful call. Had that been, it's like in a regular football game, onside kick in the first quarter after the team scored, which was the same thing. It drove me bananas because you don't put your team in situations that they lose. And that was a situation, the coach put them in a situation where Albany scored immediately. And I was like, oh my gosh. And that really hampered them the rest of the game. I'm sorry, it did. It did. The momentum straight back to Albany. And from then on, it was playing catch up.
Yep. So, but it was a fun game. I mean, at one point, I think Nashville was down by 19, something like that, and ended up losing by 3. So it was a lot of fun, and appreciate everyone for listening and having fun along with us. So we had a good time there in Albany.
It was a good time.
To Greg Pogue and Jeff Fisher, Nick Guerrero, Bobby, everybody with the Cats.
And also, I'm Fisher's probably tired of me asking stories about the 85 Bears and after that.
See, he and I are talking Titan stories and like old old Titan stories. I mean, we sat the other night and he told me some that he's definitely not told publicly. I was enjoying that.
He doesn't get the same questions from us.
No. And he loves it. I mean, he even said, like, let's get a story time, you know, segment
it's
going.
It's great, man. Like. But, you know, Chase?
Oh, it's time. Is it time? Are you ready?
It is time.
Oh, he's ready. I'm so proud of you. Let's go.
Yeah, we are officially today 54 days out from the start of college football. 54 days from that amazing sport kicking off again in 2025. So with that, what we've done, we want your favorite number 54 jerseys, favorite number 54. I'm going to start. He's my all-time favorite SEC player. He played at Tennessee, number 54, Dale Jones. Amazing linebacker. One play he did in college, it stands out when he intercepted Mike Shula in 1985 down in Legion Field, and Tennessee won the game 16-14 over Alabama. What a game. That's the game Tony Robinson blew his knee out, and the Vols were reeling in that day, but Dale Jones made a great interception. Vols win the game. So number 54, my fave number 54, Dale Jones. Chase McCabe.
There's two that come to mind for me. Hall of Famers from the Dallas Cowboys. Randy White would be one of them, and Chuck Howley.
Chuck Howley's a good one.
Yep. I looked that one up. But Randy White was.
Randy White. Yeah. Where did he go to college? Maryland. Badass.
Yep.
Dr. Crane, do you have a number favorite 54?
I believe Brian Urlacher was number 54.
Yeah. He was.
That was somebody I'd like to, you know, meet.
So here's something funny. Like when I, on Google, I typed in the best athletes to wear 54. So now they have the AI thing that comes up.
Yeah.
It put Brian Urlacher in the NBA. So I don't know if you knew that.
He's a great player.
But
the
there
NBA.
Was another 54 in Chicago that was in the NBA.
Horace Grant?
Yep.
Horace Grant. Dr. Crane, He Friday night pitched one of the most amazing games in baseball history. What number is Sonny Gray?
54. One hit, good. Complete game.
He did a Maddox. They called that a Maddox game. Even Greg Maddox didn't do that. He threw a one-hitter, struck out more than 10 in less than 90 pitches.
Yeah, he threw 85, I believe.
Something like that.
85 or 89? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my. And I love Sonny Gray. I mean, covered him when he was at Smyrna High School and at Vanderbilt. But that's when you say you've pulled a Manning. I'm not Manning. A Maddox. And Maddox didn't even do that? I mean, the Cardinals are playing great, right?
Yeah. They're one of the best teams in the Central right now. I mean, I think they have the best record in the month of June, if I'm not mistaken. Them and one other team.
All right. So, Sonny Gray, well done. And you banged on them back in March. They're not going to be too good this year.
Well, I didn't say that exactly, but yeah, they.
I got the audio. Here, okay. I'll play for it real quick. Hey, Dr. Crane, what about those Cardinals? It's March 19th. Well, I don't think they're going to play good this year, and I'm not sure what's going to happen.
I wasn't expecting all this production out of these veteran pitchers. That's the thing. I mean, I knew Sonny Gray was going to be productive, but right. Everybody else, no.
You weren't expecting all this production out of Big Joe.
Right. Here I got my cracked staff. I actually watched part of that game Friday night, and I was like, goodness, man. I mean, he was throwing just nasty stuff.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
He actually does well when he misses pitches. Like, if he misses the zone, he perfects it on the next pitch. Like, if he throws a curveball that hangs up in the zone and it's a ball,
right.
He'll throw another pitch, like a slider, have the same release pattern, and it will drop it into the zone. So I like the way he completes his misses.
I like the way he completes his misses, too. I think they've got two kids. I think so. I think
what?
I don't know. Kudos to Sonny, man.
Didn't you miss us?
I did. I did miss you guys.
Oh, man, that's funny.
Chaser called in for Ford's Company on Saturday, right?
He did.
I didn't call in. I was from the booth.
Or from the booth.
I mean, we had
was already on the grid.
We had great production value there. That's good. The Predators have made a move today, obviously coming off the draft this weekend. We will discuss that and what it means moving forward coming up next. Here on the Chasing Big Joe Show, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. And, of course, as always, we are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.
Well, I think it came down to there were some really good names on the board, for sure, and I'll let Jeff speak on it. But I watched these guys in the room, the scouts. It came to a little bit of a nit factor. A guy shows up, all those intangibles, the work ethic, all those things. I mean, there's not too many things that are going to get in this guy's way. And we had some tough decisions, but there was total passion on this pick. And, you know, we had good intel that a lot of teams had him where we did. So really, really good pick. I love this kid when we met him in the combine. He's infectious. People will follow him, and he's got the, like I say, he's got that, whatever it is, that it. And we're really happy to have him.
That was Barry Trotz Friday night after the Brady Martin selection. Chasing Big Joe, 125-106.3 The Game, with you on this Monday. We'll get to that in a second, but the news today is that, and of course I had the particulars open, and then I closed it out. But so that was good.
I got the particulars.
There was a trade this morning that the Nashville Predators?
Nashville Predators, there you go.
Predators have made. And that is, they have traded, Joe, I'm sorry to tell you this, Colton Sissons and a defenseman, Jeremy Lozon, to Vegas for defenseman Nick Hague. And Nick Hague has also signed a 4-year, $5.5 million a year extension in Nashville.
Good Lord. And so our one guest that we have on all the time who comes on here and rolls his eyes at our questions in a funny way is now going to Vegas.
At your question.
At my question. That's now he's gone to Vegas.
Yep.
Man.
Yep. And Colton, I always refer to him as the glue guy. Because he kind of that's what he was. I mean, he could play anywhere in the lineup and just was a, you know, great player to have. He was one of the few that played for every coach that the Predators ever had, including Barry Trotz. He was on the Cup team, obviously had the hat trick in Game 6 of the Western Conference Final that sent the Predators to the Stanley Cup Final. So Colton Sissons will certainly be missed. I look at this, you know, initial glance, I was like, okay, I guess, you know, Haig's a big body. Like, that's he's a really big defenseman. So that could be an upgrade over Lozon. But he's been a third-pair guy in Vegas. He's 26 years old, which is good. You've definitely you've gotten younger. You've got a player in their prime. And I guess they're viewing him that they think he can do more than he was doing in Vegas and hoping that they can get out of him. The four-year, $5.5 million per year, he better do more than just play third pair if they're going to pay him that.
According to Wyshynski, the Predators might be hoping there's another level for Haig as he joins a crowded left side of their defense with star Roman Josi and Brady Skjei, who inked with Nashville a year ago as a free agent. The guy's on they signed the Vegas Knights third defense. He's on the third pairing, right? Mitch, he's on the third line. Good Lord, man.
Yeah.
It's like they gave up on him.
I don't know about that. And yeah, as you mentioned, I mean, they need a right shot defenseman. They got a left shot defense. I mean, I don't hate the player. I just, you know,
but do you hate the game?
No, I don't hate the. No, I love the game. 125 the game.
Good.
But I don't know. And I know some of you, like, when I say things like this, you're going to be like, oh, you're the PD of the flagship, so you have to say this. I'm saying that it's incomplete, so I want to see how it all plays out with free agency opening tomorrow and more trades. And, you know, but right now I'm kind of like, okay.
I just want somebody to come in here and beat the piss out of the other team. Do we not do that anymore?
Well, that's what this guy can do.
I'm happy then. I'm good.
I mean,
I'm good.
They have added more toughness in a bigger.
I'm on board.
That's what they've done. So
I need about 4 to 6 guys whose main job is to come in and just fight. We don't do that anymore in hockey. No, you need to knock the snot out of some guys.
Well, I mean, it's not necessarily fight. It's just he's a big physical player, which, yes, they needed more
good.
Of that. I think my question is, and again, it's incomplete. I want to see it play out completely. Is the moves that have been made really over the past 2 years? You know, I think we all liked the free agency signings, but the building of this team. I even look at Brady Martin as they're Barry Trotz type players, which you may go, okay, well, he's the GM, right? Andrew Brunette's the coach. So do these fit Andrew Brunette is the question. Like, you know, I don't know what Brady Martin is going to become. I know it was a tough pill to swallow to pass on James Higgins and Porter Martone, who went the next two picks right after Brady Martin. There were some mocks that had Martin going to the Predators. There were some mocks that had him, you know, in the top five. But I used the comparison of when the Titans took Corey Davis that – this does feel like that a little bit, that might be a bit of a reach at 5. But at the same time, I do think they got a good player. Was he the best player available is the question.
So there's a place you probably never heard of it called the Haig Prison. It's a complex of detention facilities with the city of Haig in the Netherlands. And they put detainees in there, including those who are winning trial at the National Criminal Court. So now with this Haig guy, when he's on the ice, he's going to put you in prison. That's what he's going to do. I love this. All right. Big, mean guy. Can fight. Can put guys in the boards. Can put him in the prison. The Haig Prison. I'm all about nicknames. I like it. All right. I'm on board. I'm going to miss Colton Sissons. He was a show favorite because the last thing he wanted to do in life was come on our show, but he did. And we had fun with him. And he embraced it. We're going to miss him. But now we're going to embrace the Haig Prison. I love it. Make those shirts out. I'd like 5% if you don't mind.
Okay.
I dig it.
So there you go. What do you think about the trade, the draft, all the things with the Predators? 615-737-1025. Joey from Gallatin says, I love Big Joe Skjei.
Thank you.
Weston Clarksville, is this new signing the Andre Dillard of hockey? I'm not going to go that far. I'm not going to go that far. And 8492 says Jeremy was as physical as you can get. Yeah, he led the league in hits. So, I mean, I'll give you that. But this guy's bigger, I guess, is how I look at it. Chip from Mount Juliet, 100% Chase. The players didn't fit last year. We will know within 2 months this year. That's the thing. And if they have to fit Andrew Burnett. And if they don't, then Andrew Burnett's not going to be here. And that's not Andrew Burnett's fault, but that's just the way it is.
Well, does Andrew Burnett have any say who gets drafted?
I don't know.
Did you find this stuff out?
I would think so, but I don't. It doesn't feel like he did.
Honestly. I mean, you don't think Trotz with the Burnett said, "Hey, what about adding this guy?" And right, I would think you'd want your coach on the same page and to know what you're doing instead of driving around town and hearing on our show. Like, what the hell happened? Hey, I didn't know that. I would think that you would be involved in that. But that's what I would do. But, again, nobody's asking me.
No, they're not.
That's smart.
That's probably a good thing.
But put them in the prison, baby.
615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll continue this conversation. I think our man Greg Pogue's supposed to join us in here. I don't know if he's here yet.
Is he not calling?
I thought he was coming in.
Oh, God. Okay.
He better be like Clay and bring donuts.
Better happen. Saying. Yeah.
Anyway, we'll do that and much more. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Little Johnny Cash bringing us back on a Monday. I like it, Dr. Crane. Folsom Prison, very good. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We had a lot of fun in Albany over the weekend, calling the Arena Crown Championship game between the Albany Firebirds and the Nashville Cats. And we say hello, Joe, to the AF1 Executive of the Year, our good friend Greg Pogue, who is on the line with us. Hi, Pogue.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Oh, we're great. We really enjoyed this weekend, and I'm glad that we all had a good time and hope you made it safely back to Nashville.
I woke up for this interview, and I'm going back to bed right after it. I just want you to know
well,
that.
Well, good. You deserve
no,
it.
No, I'm kidding. But no, and I heard the Johnny Cash by mine is, I've been everywhere, man.
That's you.
Man. What a crazy year. But, yeah, and I'm glad you and Joe got to come up at the owners' meeting Friday and then the game Saturday. And, man, it would have been nice to bring home that ring. But I think the whole season was about, you know, our saying internally was that you can't get to year three unless you have a year two. And of course, last year we knew all about the issues with the league and this ownership group previously, and Jeff and I were a part of that. But we just saw the sustaining, you know, viability of it, and we knocked it out of the park in Clarksville. I mean, that's going to be an interesting discussion here in the off season of where our home games are going to be played. But we finished strong with two great weekends in Clarksville. You guys, you know, did the games. And I think we go into the off season showing everybody that the Nashville Cats are here to stay.
Pogue, you know, we've talked to you about this, kind of just us talking, and obviously we've talked to Jeff Fisher about this. But, you know, starting a league, starting a team is not an easy feat by any means. And, you know, you've had your sports media career and done a lot of big things. Why is this something that you want to put, you know, blood, sweat, tears, you know, however you want to put it, into to make it yet another great thing for people in Nashville to experience?
Well, I think it's generational. We have people coming to our games now who win as kids. Right. And when that great run of this league, you know, and its national presence, and then here locally, it sits in a really good time slot. You know, we're the only game in town the last couple weeks outside of the NHL draft. And I just think it's, you've seen it. The demographics are, there's what's your target? There it's everybody. Right? Young, green, blue people are welcome. Old, it just, and you know how much fun it is. And so, yeah. I mean, and the challenge, yeah, it was the thing that I think that why I did get that award was I was the only owner. I embedded myself with this team all year long, every road last year as well. But I wanted to see what they were dealing with on the road, and I'm telling you what, there were some horror stories on the road, and I just wanted to see firsthand, and so I did that. And I think that, but you know, this, there's plenty of things in our market to do, But I think this is one. There's a lot of people that can't take their kids to a Titans game. There's a lot of people that can't take their kids to a Predators game. They can afford to come get that same kind of experience. Obviously not at that level, but to get that same kind of experience for a lot less money.
Talking to Greg Pogue this morning. Hey, let's talk about Saturday real quick. I know we'll talk about the Cats here in Nashville and everything that's going on. But nice turnout, because talking to people on Friday, were like, well, I don't think anybody's going to show up in Albany. Great crowd, great environment, and that's what you guys are going for, right?
Well, yeah, and that's a market that's had arena football for, 25, 30 years. They've won now 3 different championships in 3 different leagues. Yeah, I was talking to their owners. They didn't know. It's just, Saturday, 1 o'clock, most of their games have been, Saturday night games. That was placed there at that time slot because of TV. I think everything, you walk out of that building, the crowd was into it. I think the crowd was a huge factor. We had, 4 false start penalties,
yes.
3 or 4, yep. Because of the crowd, and there's really no way you could duplicate that in practice. So, I think everything, the TV, every component of this year with AF1, it's arena football, yes, but this was a different entity, a new league, if you will, a lot of the same ownership groups. We already have expansion fees paid. I can't say which markets, but we will expand by at least 4 this coming year. And we showed what the future is about. And certainly when you have Jeff Fisher at the front, I mean, that's, opens up so many doors. But in the past 20, 25 years, the indoor game, the arena game, has been fragmented. You've got 14 different leagues and
right.
50 different cities, right? We want to become, I use this loosely, but we will become the standard, and we will grow it to where it's one league. And if any of these other leagues want to be a minor league to us, that's fine.
Charles is asking, sent me a text, ask Greg when a decision will be made on where they will play next year. I guess you get asked that 10 times a day, right?
Well, especially with the kind of success we had in Clarksville those last 2 games. You guys were over there. We were at 80% capacity, 90% capacity in the last regular season and then in that playoff game. Yeah, I mean, in the partnership with the Predators and Sean Henry, Michelle Kennedy, Janine, they were all up at both games, and that would be a very good partnership with them, obviously. So Municipal Auditorium, though, it's downtown Nashville, and we had good turnouts there.
Yep.
We'll see. It's a nice problem to have. Where are you going to play?
Do you think, Greg Pogue is with us from AF1 and the Nashville Cats, do you think that maybe there's a model, and maybe the sample size is too small to really answer this, that if you are going to have a team in a major sports city like Nashville has become, finding an outlying city like a Clarksville, that maybe that is the right formula, that you get the support of Nashville, you get the support of a big city, that you might see some other teams try and do that model as well?
Well, I mean, if you look at it, in NFL, where are the San Francisco 49ers playing? Where? Palo Alto?
Santa Clara.
I don't know. 50, yeah, Santa Clara, 50 miles from downtown. Yeah, you see that forever. Where did the Lions? I mean, that's not unusual. The Braves are in Marietta, right?
Yep.
I think you sort of get the best of both worlds. I don't think you lose the Nashville market if you're in Clarksville, but the mayor over there, we had watch parties in downtown with Michael Waltrip, who's now part of our ownership group, and in Clarksville, we had 2 watch parties. If you'd have told me that 6 weeks ago, I would have said you're crazy.
All right, and you got it done. Well, congrats for all that. Also, I know you like talking about yourself, but getting that, it's a big honor being executive of the year of the AF1. That was, did you have any inkling? Did you know that was going to be happening or anything?
Yeah, I dressed up for it. Couldn't you tell?
Yes.
Well, it was funny. We sat down. We were all sitting together at dinner, and Joe's like, oh, Greg's going to win something. Like,
so I had a feeling.
He had a feeling.
Of course. You want to win. I've never been, all the awards I've won, I was, they dragged me into. Anyway, I thought I had a chance. You don't ever want to think about that, but you know, and also I want to give credit to our partner, you know, CEO Bobby Dvorsny, who has just killed it in Clarksville, and it's like a, you know, like a, the road runner. You just don't see him until he stops. I thought I had a chance. I really did, because I know how much I put into it. No one else in this league has done what I did. And all the owners, all of those executives, they don't get on a bus for 3 hours from Corpus Christi to Houston and back, you know? So, yeah, I thought I had a chance.
Gentlemen, I'll go ahead and pass this piece of breaking news along out of the NFL because it does have a Nashville connection. According to Adam Schefter, the Miami Dolphins have agreed to trade 3-time All-Pro cornerback Jalen Ramsey to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ramsey also gets a $1.5 million raise this season, bringing his 2025 compensation up to $26.6 million. So there you go, Jalen Ramsey going to the Steelers. Sorry, Pogue, just wanted to work that.
Hey, man, an interview with breaking news, man. You send this in for a Murrow Award.
So I know there's got to be now some time to breathe. Is probably like I was talking to Coach Fisher about that, the, you know, yesterday of, or Saturday, I guess it was, of, you know, now it's like, all right, let's just kind of take a step back and breathe, and then everybody get together. But I know you all have to be excited about the what's next moving forward, whether it's a, you know, media partners or teams or what have you with AF1.
This is in 2 years, this is the first full off season we will have to do. Not to do it right, but to do it in a full way where everything you just mentioned, Chase, obviously now we can go out. We have something to sell also, and that's important. I mean, this is going to be, like I said, we're going to have a whole off season to do, get everything in place where I don't say we've been flying by the seat of our pants, but it certainly feels like it.
Well, anyway, I will tell you, the games in Clarksville were fantastic. This past week, it was fantastic. And like I've told Chase, we've talked about, it's just fun. It's in the summertime. It's in the perfect time, late March until June. There's not a lot going on. This was fun. And the whole thing in Clarksville and Albany and watching this team grow and getting to know the players, it was something else. So thank you for letting us be on this journey with you.
Well, you know what I think of you two guys. Well, mostly Chase, but anyway. but no, having you guys there and being a part of it, and certainly our Cromwell partnership this year, last year, and especially this year, and putting the game on both 93.3 and 102.5 was really, I thought, a nice hit. So yeah, hey, you guys have been great to us. Everybody at Cromwell, Bud and everybody, Jeff Cole, we had a really, I think we showed that we're here to stay. And that was the most important thing, is that, hey, what, I don't want to go out into an off season and selling a train wreck. We showed that we're ready to roll.
No doubt about it. Pogey, thanks so much for doing this today. We will see you very soon and excited about what's next.
Yeah, it's your turn to buy.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Pogey.
<Right. laughs> I thought you had an excellent question and remark.
Thank you.
Time to breathe.
Yeah.
Because it's been a runaway train for the last 6 to 8 weeks for Pogue and the AF1.
Yeah.
Now you can breathe. It culminated. It was great. It was fun. A lot of people listening, weighing in this past weekend on the Cats. And, they, you know, winning solves everything. And this team won down the stretch and got to the championship game. And it was a lot of fun. And now you run it back starting, what, next February, next March? And like Greg said, you've got something to build off of and take to people and say, look, here's what we're doing with Gruden and Michael Waltrip and Fisher part of this. It's good. It's a good time then for them.
Coming up next, we'll kind of do some quick hits on the Ramsey trade, back to the Predators as well, as you listen to the Chase and Big Joe Show on this Monday, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on this Monday. I went to the Opry like 2 years ago, and Steve Earle was playing, and like that's all I cared about was hearing this song.
Which, you know, he's great, but now they're using this song, and Dr. Crane, you might know this, they're using this song in a commercial.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, I mean, Steve Earle that we all love, I don't think, I know it's about money. It's just weird because this was a guy anti-establishment for so long and just an amazing musician. And hear that in commercial now, it's kind of like, all right, I get
it. That's a cool song.
Get paid.
Yeah.
I mean, get paid.
Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. Right. Big trade in the NFL is Adam Schefter and others reporting that the Miami Dolphins have agreed to trade 3-time All-Pro Jalen Ramsey to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So he also says Ramsey is now the fourth Dolphins captain from last season, no longer on the team, joining Teron Armstead, Calais Campbell, and David Long Jr.
David Long Jr. was a captain?
I guess, yeah.
God, that's on them. Ramsey sucks. He was terrible the last couple of years. It's a terrible trade for the Steelers. Dolphins couldn't wait to get rid of him.
I mean, I don't really know what they're – you know, they are going for it this year with a 41-year-old quarterback that you never know what he's going to do, if he's going to go sleep in a cave or something like that. And now they've added – you know, they added Darius Slay, which I like that move. I think that's a good move for him. But now you've added Ramsey, who I've just never been a huge fan of. I mean, I think he –
he had a lot of hype
problems. Yep. And
a lot of hype coming out of Florida State. I mean, he went to Brentwood Academy. We know that.
He's good, but he's overrated.
He's very overrated. And I think now he's cashing a paycheck. He was terrible with the Dolphins. Terrible with the Dolphins. Who ran over him? And it wasn't Derrick Henry, but who ran over him in that Monday night game down in 23?
Oh, yeah. When we were there?
Yeah, blocked him down the field, and he didn't care.
I don't remember.
All the team ran on the field. He walked on the field. I wouldn't have that guy on my team. He sucks. He's a malcontent. He's got a bad attitude.
This is terrible
for the Steelers. Terrible.
This is their projected defense now, according to Schefter. T.J. Watt, Cameron Hayward, Derek Harmon, Keanu Benton, Alex Highsmith, Patrick Queen, Peyton Wilson, Jalen Ramsey, Darius Slay, Joey Porter Jr., Minka Fitzpatrick, Deshaun Elliott, Brandon Echols, and Beanie Bishop Jr.
They have 18 guys on defense?
I guess that's going into camp.
Right. That's a good defense. Yeah. Regardless if you have Rams or not. Dr. Crane said that was Will Levis that ran over.
That is correct.
Is that right?
Ran over
Ramsey.
Yes,
23 December.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. If you're letting a quarterback run over you, you've packed in. Terrible. Terrible for the Steelers. Terrible. Good for the Dolphins. What do the Dolphins get back in that? I'm sorry. They get 3 draft choices or something?
I actually don't know if I know the compensation.
Well, today's payday. It's in the month.
Should probably know that. I'll look it up.
How's you doing that? Remember we were all about Nashville's getting a WNBA team?
Yeah.
It ain't happening. Chicago, Detroit, and Philadelphia are joining the WNBA in 2028. And 2030, Toronto and Portland are joining the WNBA. Nashville was not mentioned anywhere in that. Was that all?
Hang on. Go back. Chicago?
No.
They already have a team.
No, Cleveland.
Oh, okay.
Detroit.
I thought you said Chicago.
And Philadelphia. And then Toronto and Portland will enter the league after that. So they're adding 5 teams. So Nashville, not even mentioned. Guess how much, Chase, each team is paying an expansion fee to join the league?
Oh, that's a really good question. $80
million? $250 million.
Okay.
To join the WNBA. I watch to see Caitlin Clark and see if she's going to get beat up. I watch now.
A lot of people are watching.
And if she's not playing, I'm not watching.
I think, you know, I'll give Jared credit for this because he's who threw it out there. But the WNBA or the NBA who runs the WNBA, but they should get together and pitch to the networks, hey, we're going to give you like a Caitlin Clark television package that, you know, you can have X amount of her games for this amount of money.
Sure.
And I think that would be a brilliant move.
I watch.
But more people are paying attention to it because of her. And, like, you know, we were talking to Rick Ensel the other night, and I asked him, I was like, why is it taking her? Because there have been really good players come through, you know, collegiately and then go on to play pro. What is it about her? And I mean, he was just like, she's truly the best player to ever put the uniform on. I mean, you just from everything she does, she is just fun to watch.
What does the NBA turn into? It's a shooting league, right?
Yeah.
25, 30.
And she shoots.
And she's making 30 footers.
Yep.
And so if she ain't playing, I ain't watching the game. That's sure. simple. But now there's a rumor out there. They're throwing out there. Caitlin Clark, the way she's being treated. This is Christine Brennan from USA Today. Says Caitlin Clark should go start her own league. Nike's paying her $28 million this year in endorsement fees.
I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. If you're not Caitlin Clark, like if you're, you know, another player and all this hype's around this one girl and you're like, I've been busting my ass for years.
Too bad.
Doing this, like, you know, I mean, but it's what they don't get. Some get, some don't. It's good for everybody. Rising tides raise all ships.
They do. Why does Indiana not go out and get a Charles Oakley for her?
They probably will. I mean, that's a great analogy. That's
or
what
Dennis
they need.
Rodman. I mean, you touch her, right. I'm shoving you. I'm going after you. I mean, they're not going to
You're basically
right.
using the analogy of go get her Pippen, her
no, no. You
know, her whoever.
Get her enforcer.
Yeah, I know. I mean, but you're saying, like, just do exactly what the Bulls did for Jordan.
Yeah.
Is they Oakley first and then Rodman. You know, even I would say Horace Grant was kind of in that too, big man.
Yeah, get somebody to protect her. That's it. And that's your WNBA minute on the Jason Big Joe show with all that. But I just thought it curious that Nashville's nowhere to be made, even though remember last summer was the big push about getting this team, and they're not even mentioned in this, the next five that are joining the league. I wouldn't pay $250 million. Because Caitlin Clark's out of the league, nobody's watching.
No, but I think the hope is that this is just the beginning of actually, you know, of getting – some really good players that people are going to be drawn to and want to watch. I mean, our buddy Ryan Porth that lives in Chicago, works in Chicago, was telling me that they work the Chicago Sky have worked a deal with United Center that whenever they play Indiana, they play those games at United Center and they sell out.
Crazy, isn't it?
Isn't that crazy?
Good for them. Good for all involved. I want everybody to be successful. I am not one of these that say, no, I want everybody to be successful. And that's kind of a way to do that. And speaking of successful, Chase McCabe, Nashville SC.
Yeah, they are.
Playing really well. Let's get the hodgepodge segment before the 10 o'clock hour.
Well, I'm reading the compensation here. So the Steelers traded Minkah Fitzpatrick to the Dolphins for Jalen Ramsey.
Oh, good for the Dolphins.
So that's the compensation.
And getting rid of a headache in Jalen Ramsey, that's an even better compensation. Dolphins won that trade.
Minkah Fitzpatrick now returns to Miami, where he started his career and was the number 11 overall pick. It's a rare player-for-player trade and another trade.
Good. Good for the Dolphins. I mean, you got rid of a massive migraine. Now it's Mike Tomlin's problem. So now he's got a couple of migraines up there in Rodgers and Jalen Ramsey. Yeah, I mean, you got a good team, but good for the Dolphins, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Show.
Coming up next, Adam Vingan's going to join us in studio a little bit early to talk some Preds, kind of review the draft and the trade this morning. We'll do that next. It's Chase and Big Joe here on this Monday, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.